Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You want why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, I don't know how that happens or why that happens, but I'm going to apologize. I just had three voicemails pop up into my phone. That ever happened to you guys? And they're from yesterday. Three of them from yesterday. And so those people left me those long voice messages, probably wondering, well, why didn't he get back to me? I'm telling you, they just popped up on my phone. So apologize. I'll try to get back to him today. Man, got a lot going on. Busy time. Most of you know that. Not griping, not moaning, not complaining, but boy, busy, busy time. And honored that you would join us here today, and so many balls we got in the air, some things I want to talk about here at the beginning as we get rolling this whole thing out. And want to apologize. I felt guilty all night. Not really, but sort of. My wife said, well, I hope you didn't make some of those guys mad by not calling them faithful men. And I said, well, I didn't mean to, and I wasn't thinking of anybody. I just wasn't going down there and reading names, say, well, he's faithful. So if you're out there and I didn't call you a faithful man, I apologize. It's like this. Not everybody can be MVP. Not everybody can be most improved player, right? Not everybody can be the best offensive player. Not everybody can be the best defensive player. And sometimes when you say, boy, that guy is that's the best running back we have, then all the rest of the running backs get mad. So I'm not trying to make any running backs mad out there. I'm just crying out, we all need to be faithful men. That's all it is. Be faithful men. Prove ourselves to be faithful. And not to be so easily swayed and influenced by others. See, that's to me, that's one of the hardest battles that I have fought. And thank God I think I've won that victory in my own heart. And here's what it is. I've come to the point that when I've reached the point where I know something in my knower, you guys know what I'm talking about. I know it in my knower. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you call me. I don't care. I just don't care. Once I know that I know, it doesn't matter. And so, you know, I hear people make fun, you know, tinfoil hat and all that kind of stuff. I don't even care. So what? Go ahead. Because I'm telling you, if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't think the way that you think. And it's Christians that I'm talking, right? The hardest thing for us to do. Somebody said the other day, they'd gone to see their doctor. I think it was my daughter. I can't remember which one it was. Maybe it was my, doesn't matter. They were discussing this doctor that they went to see. I think is what it was. I think it was a doctor. It could have been something. Doesn't matter. And anyway, one of them said, I was overhearing the conversation. One of them said, man, he's a heavy smoker. And the other one says, yeah, I smell it on him every time he comes in the room. Well, some of you smell like smoke. And some of you having a hard time getting that old smoke off of it. You may have quit. You may have quit, but you still keep walking in a room where there's smoke and you get set free. Oh, I hear you, Lord. Yeah. You get set free and then you return back to your vomit. What do you mean? Yeah. You get set free and then you run back to somebody. Thank you, Lord. You get set free and you can't wait to run back to that person that didn't understand it in the first place. And then that person you run back to who didn't understand it in the first place tells you, oh, that's baloney. Don't be believing that stuff. That's tinfoil. Don't believe that stuff. They didn't know it in the first place. And then you watch it and you hear it and all of a sudden you say, man, you know what? That makes sense. And then you run back and you tell the guy it smells like smoke that, have you considered this? Oh, that's crazy. See, you're only capable really of being able to operate in the realm in which you have experienced and have knowledge of. The only way you are. I don't know about you. I can't explain what it's like to be in outer space. I can't explain. I can't. I mean, I can see it, see pictures of it. I can't explain it. Or when you ever try to explain to somebody what it feels like to be in love, fell in love the first time. Can you explain that feeling to somebody else? No, you can't. And people can come along and say, oh, you're not in love. That's crazy. You're not in love. Well, I may not be in love, but I'm feeling this. Man, I never felt this before. See, I think that's true in the spirit. It's true in the spirit. And some of you want to be free, but you can't let go of that. You can't come out of that smoker's room. You keep running back and taking, inhaling another great big whiff of that smoke that you're so used to. I don't know why I'm using the term smoke, other than that's what people I was around, that was the term they used. He smells like smoke. Smells like smoke. And some of you keep going back to the smoker's pit and can't understand why you can't get free. I'm not talking about cigarettes. I'm talking about life in general. I got someplace I want to go today, but I can't till I go here. My wonderful wife of 39 years. Titus 1. I was getting ready to come down the steps. Got a different hat on this morning. By the way, I got hats. I got shirts. You send us a donation, we'd love to send you one. We need the donations, and you need a hat. It's a great trade. But go online there and donate something to us. Help us out down in Florida. I'm going to get into that in a minute. But I came across this. Michelle said, Titus 1. I said, what? Titus 1. And I'll confess to you. I thought, man, is that Old Testament or New Testament? Because when's the last time you were in Titus? New Testament, by the way. New Testament. And so I want us to go there, and I want you to ask yourself if this is not the America that you see around you. Okay? Okay? Christian America that you see? Bear with me here. Paul, servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. I don't want to get into the debate about the elect. And the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Hey, some of you out there, you're going to have to acknowledge the truth, even though your best friend tells you it's not true. Somebody say amen. That's a struggle some of you are having. The truth is getting into you, and there are those around you dragging you back into the smoker's pit. Now that doesn't smell right to me. And hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. That's interesting, isn't it? God doesn't say God doesn't lie, says he cannot.
Amen, brother.
The devil lies. There is no truth in him. There's no truth in him. God, who cannot lie. Wow. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandments of God, our Savior. To Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Twice he mentions our Savior. For this cause, which cause? For which cause? Well, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace, huh? For that, from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us commandment to follow. Follow the commandment. For this cause, I got the heck out of Crete, that thou should sit in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. Paul was an apostle. He went around and ordained elders. When's the last time your church ordained elders? I'm not talking about guys just within the church. Ordained elders into every city. Who are the elders in the city where you live? Who are they? 1,500 churches, no elders. Oh, each church got five elders. Who are the elders of the city? Didn't say the elders of the church. Verse 6, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. Oh, boy. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men. I love good men. Boy. Underline that, Jared. Are you a lover of good men? I'm not a lover of all men. I want it to be known right now. I'm a lover of good men. Sober, just, holy, and temperate. Now, people like to go back to the bishop part, so there must be a husband and one wife and all that, but how many of us go right here? A lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. Those are the men I like. That's what I'd like to be like. Holding fast the faithful word, as have been taught, that they may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many. Here's where I'm heading today. This is it. This is what my bride of 39 years deposited in me as I was walking down the steps. Well, there are many. How many? Many. There are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Boy, that'll preach. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, simply for money, filthy lucre's sake. Well, stop. Good time to say amen. We'll give you a chance to say amen. Come on, let me hear you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, how about that, a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables, commandments of men, that turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, they ain't nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. And we'll say that again, Jared. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Hey, boys and girls, he's talking about church leaders. Huh? Had a brief email conversation back and forth yesterday with Kurt Nock, who I got to get him back on, meet you at the poll. Real quick text message he sent to me. He says, Coach, you're right about the pastor. And then I got a call from a conversation I had with the pastor. It says, you're too hard on the pastor. What? Pastors of what? What are they pastors of? We just read about some of them there. Anybody want to say anything? I'm going to move on. Anybody want to say anything? Thanks, Michelle, for giving me that.
Hey, Coach, you're not hard enough on them.
Hey, Vince, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him.
Hey, well, Dave, I was going to say it's not pastor, it's pasture.
Exactly. That's it, brother.
I just if the shoe fits, wear it.
That's it, brother. That's it. Yep. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're a pastor out there and I make you nervous, I'm not letting up. I am not letting up. I'm not. I believe whole ministries, if you're watching this show and you're a pastor, I believe whole ministries need to change. I believe directions of your ministry need to change. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Your ministry is set up simply around filthy lucre. Now, you may say, I don't love money. I don't really love money. No, I don't love money. No. But you're not going to speak the truth because you're worried about filthy lucre. You're worried about who's going to leave. You already make your budget now. If I run any more away, we're not going to make the budget. I'd rather eat worms. Jared, let's go to the calendar real quickly. Can't even get pastors to turn up at the poll. Meet you at the poll. They won't even go to that. They won't even show up and pray. They talk about praying. They won't even come and pray. Say, Coach, I can't already listen to you. You're always negative. Well, folks, the truth often is negative. The truth is often negative. It's like when I was coaching football, the football players would always complain to me after we would watch Saturday morning films. And if I got especially hard on some kid, you know what he would say to me? Coach, you're always saying negative things. You're always tearing me down. I said, listen, I point out mistakes. You want me to quit being negative? Quit making the mistakes. You quit making those mistakes, I'm not going to be saying a thing to you. Because, by the way, you're playing right guard because I hired you to do the job. And you don't need patting on the back just for doing what you're supposed to do. And I appreciate that you're doing what you're supposed to do, but there ain't no honor in that. That's what a faithful man does, all right?
Amen.
Hey, and sometimes they recognize you and pat you on the back, and sometimes they don't. But I'm going to tell you this. If you let that blitzing linebacker get through, I'm going to be all over you. Yeah, Vinny?
Yeah, it's just there's so many people who are just out there not doing their bloody job. Why just do your job? I don't see what's so hard about it. And don't expect thanks for doing your job. Just if you do your job well, you'll get thanks. That's not even true, too. But do your job. Do your job.
Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, exhort,
I missed the first one. First, second Timothy. Help me out there, man. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Dale Sosha, normally there, catch me on that one. Reprove, that's your job. That's Second Timothy. There it is. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned into fables. For what you in all things endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. There's your job. You say, I don't have a ministry. Well, get one. You got a ministry? Oh, boy. I was in a good mood when I came down. Michelle, it's your fault. Amen. Amen. So work the calendar. Do your job. Do your stinking job. Don't expect somebody. Listen, every Friday you get a paycheck at work. Every Friday. And you may never hear from your boss whether you did a good job or a bad job. He just gives you your paycheck. Just do your job. We all like attention. We all like to be patted on the back. I got so many balls in the air. God bless Jim Kraft. You know, Jim Kraft said to me the other day, it's so good. He said, Coach, this Salt and Light Brigade ain't about you. Just somebody's got to step forward and help. And I'm going to help down in Florida. Wow. Wow.
That's amen. Your... Unbidden. Unbidden works. He just did it.
Something's got to be done. He's looking around. Well, nobody's going to do it. Well, we can't wait on Coach to do it. He's got a thousand things going on.
I'm
training up leaders. I'm equipping leaders. Jim said, I can do that. I'll handle that, Coach. And he is. Amen. Thanks, Jim. So listen, let's crank some things up here real quickly. I'm going to be in Iowa again next. This just popped up next Wednesday. Golly. In Montezuma, Iowa. I'm going to be there. We're doing another regional huddle. Something's going on in Iowa. It's the third time I've been out there now. Third time. And I click on that again, Jared, if you could. This is like amazing. I think it's actually in a church. Presbyterian Family Center. You believe that? 7 o'clock Central Time. Pray for me. Safe travels. Keep my energy level high. Can I confess something to you? If you want to pray for me, here's my biggest prayer concern. When I go, like I'm going to go to Iowa, I'm going to fly out on the events on Wednesday. So I'm going to do my show Wednesday morning. I'm going to fly out there Wednesday, spend all day Wednesday. Then I got to get on a plane, fly back. It'll take me all day to get back Thursday. I lost 2 days and all of a sudden it's Friday and I got a bunch of stuff I didn't get done. I come back to 500 emails. That's my burden. Okay, just be honest with that. Sometimes I'm not a great finisher. Sometimes there's things I need to do and I just can't get to. You know what I'm saying? I think Ray Gano started a new web page and it's an interactive thing. It's good. And I got to produce a couple of videos for him to get it up and running. And I think, Lord, when am I going to do that? So that's another thing, Jared. If I make an hour video, how the heck do I make an hour video and then copy it and get it to Ray? And hey, because look, we run a tight ship here. And a lot of stuff we do with volunteers. You know, I could get $1 million budget and hire 16 people around me and do all that stuff. And then ministry becomes about just feeding people's families by giving them jobs. And I'm not going to go there. And I've labored 18 years, 16 years, 16 years of doing this. I've labored. And now we're making some good traction. It's all good. I'm not complaining about it. Okay? I'm not complaining about it. But we all got to pull together on this. I'm sorry. I'm not complaining. I love what I do. November 3rd. Come on now. Okay, Jared and Gary and anybody out there need to help me. We got to get an email out to the people in Pennsylvania area. November 3rd, that's soon, man. Connie's put a lot of work together out there, and we're going to try to draw from those people in Pennsylvania. Gary, I think maybe you're out that way, and we'll get the list out to the people we met in New York, and let's try to have us a good regional event there in Pennsylvania. There you are again, right? Now, folks, stay with me here, folks. Can you stay with me? I'm not complaining. But so people say, Coach, I wish you could hurry up and get this done. Now, can you follow this with me? Stay with me here. Wednesday is the 31st. Right? I'm going to go to Iowa and fly to Iowa Wednesday. I'm going to get back on the 1st. Now, the 1st is already gone, and Friday is the 2nd, and the event is the 3rd, and I got to go 6 hours to get to Iowa. So do you understand how my time, do you understand how my time is getting eaten up here by traveling, being in a plane, and sitting in airports and all that stuff? So a little bit of grace. We got to come on. We need you there in the regional of Pennsylvania at Hellertown, PA, at the local American Legion there.
Hey, all coach, right? You forgot to add in Ben being felt up by the TSA.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, coach, is Tanya in here?
I don't know. Tanya in here today? She's really busy. She's a busy mommy, so she's, you know, getting her kids to school and stuff like that. Anyway, go ahead, David.
Get her to email me or contact me so I can put her in contact with the radio station, a conservative radio station in that area.
I'll do that, David. So, hey, David, email me a reminder on that. Will you do that for me, please?
I will do so.
And then I'll do that. And then we have the Texas on November 9th and 10th. We're going to be in Texas, and we've got a great thing going on Saturday. And we're just going to kind of keep that under the – we need you. We'll talk about a little bit more of that in the future. Pro-life demonstration there in Austin, Texas is where we're going. We have a local thing going on here in Columbus, Ohio as well. For those of you in the Columbus, Ohio area, I showed you yesterday that we got a group of pastors who are going to pray over Planned Parenthood. Well, they're going to have some real Christians. They're not going to have First Titus Christians. They've got some real Christians that are going to be opposing that effort. So keep that in mind as well. I've burned up 22 minutes already, and I don't feel like I've said anything. So, cool. We all good there? Good. Anybody, anything? Jump in here. If I can make it to the 10th, I'll catch my breath a little bit. 10th of November. And then I'm going to, Jim Kraft is on his way tomorrow back down to Panama City. Going back down. Mark Trump's going to show up down to Josh Manna. Is going to get a group of about five. Going to be there this next weekend. And we need more of you. Jim's going to be, listen to this. Jimmy's going to be down there clear through November 15th. And so if you're out there and you'd like to come and help down there, Jim's going to be there to organize that. God bless Jim for doing it. And his wife, Gwen. And so no excuse. You want to go down there? We can plug you in. Yeah, Chad, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. That's all right, buddy. Okay, for all those that plan on coming down to the Austin event, I know you want to talk about that, but I want to get a little bit of, if you haven't communicated with me, please do so and let me know what your intentions are. We're also going to have our regular Texas Brigade meeting at that same time, so if you're going to be there for the entire time, then that's fine. If you're just going to come for the Saturday event and fly back out or however you're going to do it, I just need to know what your intentions are. So thank you for that.
All right, Chad. And I'm just going to mention this real briefly. Folks, we had a lot of expenses this last weekend, a lot of expenses in Marshfield. A lot of people that we brought in paid hotels for them. We had a lot of expenses. That's all I'm going to say out there. Both Rob Pugh and I, we forked out some money to make it happen. And we're going to fork out some money to make it happen for Chad as well down there in the 9th and the 10th. So some of you who can't go, maybe you can help. Jim, I was just talking about you. See, you just joined us. Anything to say, Jim Kraft, anybody that wants to come down there? We're still talking on that a little bit here this morning. Maybe Jim Kidd didn't hear me. He lives out in the country. Okay, cool. I'm going to talk about it. Look at it. Hey, Jim, I just told the people that you're going to be down there really for about the next month. Anything particular, Jim, you'd like to say about that? Anybody wants to come, what they need to do, anything?
Hey, just get a hold of me. Just give me a call and let me know when you're coming, how long you're going to stay, and if you need me to make accommodations for you and all that. One thing I do want to add, the pastor of the church that Glenn and I have attended, this little missionary Baptist church, his name's Jason Morris. And, man, I talked to him last night, and they just got – he farms on the side for a day job, and – anyway, he's taking a truck and a stock trailer full of supplies, and I forget how many's going with him, but they're leaving a Friday, I think. And four guys are going with him. And
praise the Lord,
he's a great guy. So he's leading the effort, coach, from a little church out in the country.
Okay? Isn't that what we need, and Jimmy? Isn't that what it's all about, huh?
Yeah, I just want to plug for him. That's all.
Okay, thanks, Jim. So get a hold of me, folks, and I'll connect you with Jim. Listen, here's what we have to do. You guys hearing me? I don't want to do it either. I don't want to do it. We have to infiltrate some of these churches. We have to infiltrate. Because there's some good people sitting in there. And we don't have to go in there and we don't have to cause a disturbance. But we have to infiltrate, begin to gradually move these people towards the truth. So some of them are deceived. I listened to Sheila Zelensky. She was on Hagman Report last night. Man, Sheila nails it, man. She's got it. Why we pray and how we don't pray and precatory prayers, and it's supposed to be our great weapon, and we're not using it. Don't know how to use it. We got people sitting in churches. They don't even know how to pray. They don't even know how to pray. Lord, please bless my family today and keep us all safe. Well, that's a hell of a prayer. Pardon me. That's a hell of a prayer. That's the prayers that are going up. And we're not taking this thing seriously. I'm reading a chat text here. Hang on. Thank you, Pastor Mike. Says, I was going to send a check. He's tried four times to donate on your website and it doesn't work. Yeah, don't know if it's your site or my bank or both, but whatever. Thanks, Pastor Mike. We'll check that thing out. We'll check that thing out. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Okay, cool. Where was I? Okay. Jared, click on the second article. Newark Advocate. I was telling you this. Come on, this local here. This doesn't make me proud at all. I don't know if you guys remember this. Little kid was killed. Little local kid. Goes back about 3 months ago, 4 months ago. This is this morning's paper, by the way. October 22nd, 2018, updated. Newark Foster father faces murder charge and death of child. Now, I want you to read this. Can you imagine if this had been Coach Dave's son? Or if Coach Dave had done this, see if they would have written the article as daintily as this. One of the foster fathers, listen to that. What? One of the foster fathers. What? Let's continue. One of the foster fathers caring for a 5-year-old boy who died in June has been indicted on charges of murder. Huh? Ken Schultz was indicted by a Licking County grand jury last week. In June, Schultz was indicted on 2 endangering children charges on a second-degree felony and other third-degree. According to Paula Sollers, Licking County Assistant Prosecutor, the officer was waiting to receive an autopsy, which they finally got back. Prosecutor's office received the autopsy back about a month ago, and they presented the case to the grand jury on Wednesday. Speaking with Thackeray a couple days before, Sollers said the child's injuries appear to be consistent with abuse. Really? Stay with me now. Stay with me. See if they'd write this about me. Schultz was one of the foster father, plural, who was caring for 5-year-old Nathaniel Guard and his brother. On that day, police and paramedics were called to the home that Schultz shared with his husband, William. The murderer shared with his husband, William. Wait a minute. Help me out. Am I losing pronouns here? Are my pronouns getting messed up here somewhere along the line?
No, it looks like they put those kids with a pair of sodomites.
Well, you are you kidding me? No, they didn't do that, did they? His husband, Schultz, who's a man, with his husband, William. Wow. Let's during an interview, Schultz. Oh, wait a minute. A 911 call said Schultz had been wrestling with Nathaniel and his boy's 6-year-old brother when he started breathing weird. Yeah. Watch this. Stay with me. During an interview, Schultz had reported told police officer that he used wrestling style moves, which include body slamming. Schultz admitted to using a power bomb move on the child, picking the child up over his head and body slamming him into the couch, which caused the boy, doggone it, to hit his head on the back of the couch. Doggone it. I hate it when that happens. Nathan died at Children's Hospital 4 days after 911 was called. Medical personnel determined Nathan, slide on down, Jared. Stay with me. Stay. Here it is. Had suffered several injuries, including severe head trauma, detached retinas, bilateral hemorrhages, and bruising. That's quite a body slam, wasn't it? Court records also indicate the boy had 2 cuts on his genitals. just kind of threw that in there at the end. Court records. Court records.
Right. I remember that. 3 months ago, you mentioned that. Cuts on the genitals. How did that happen?
They just threw that in there. I mean, it was bad enough. His retina was detached, and he had bruises on his head, and he ended up dying. And he had these two funny marks down there on his genitals.
Back to that point, if Coach Dave were the subject of this story, I guarantee they would not have glossed over that little factoid.
They're still glossing over it, right?
Ridiculous.
They're still listen, hey, Jared, see if you can go to the homepage. I want to show you something. Just go to Newark Advocate. Yeah, just do that. Now, look, can I show you? Scroll down, Jared. Now, scroll down. Watch this. Watch what's coming up here. Keep going. No, go back up, Jared. We missed it. Over to the side. I don't miss it. Don't miss it. Keep going, Jared. Keep going. Cop. Newark cop resigns. Up here on the right-hand side, Jared. These little things that pop up. Yeah, right there. Okay. Oh, look. Newark foster father faces charges. Oh, look at this. Heath Pastor leaves over decade. Why doesn't it say Newark sodomites face murder charges? Newark cop resigns after sex with teen at the football game. It's all over us, and it's all right out there in front of us. And our daggone media is so biased they won't tell us. David Arthur, this irritates me to no end. JR in here today. I emailed both of you guys this article. And what's going to happen? Anybody going to say anything about it? Going to be any demonstrations against it? Oh, my goodness. Boy, good thing they didn't hit those little boys with a Bible. Good thing they weren't reading them any Bible stories. Oh, no, no. Doing body moves, slamming him. He slammed that little boy so hard it cut his genitals.
You know what, Coach? You know this case has bothered me ever since it first came out because there's so much more to this case. And all you can get from the first time they printed it until this, because there's been nothing in between except an article on how the mother gave up custody of her two boys to the state because she feared for their safety in her home. So she put them in the state's care, who put them in the care of two homosexuals.
Two husbands. David, there's two husbands. Mm-hmm. Be nice. Be nice. You haven't learned the language yet.
The thing that's happening here is that the state isn't going to take the blame because the medical reports say that there was ongoing abuse. But the state was supposed to be checking on these boys. They said they removed the other boy and there was nothing wrong with him. Well,
no, he was okay.
What's not wrong with him when you put him in the home with two homosexuals? They were molesting the boy. That's why he had cuts on his genitals. They were molesting him.
Think of the spirit of that place and putting a kid in. And hey, I want you guys to hear. Okay, I'm going to play this on my phone. You ready? Here's the tape right now. Here we go. Listen, of the outrage from our local pastors. Ready? Here it goes. There it was.
There was some powerful outrage, brother.
Yep, there it was. Yep. We'll be on. Listen, we can't expect them to be doing anything. They're doing trunk or treat. This is the coming up on a big trunk or treat event.
No, they're going to use the scripture in a still small voice, so we got to be quiet.
Welcome back, Dale. You always liven it up here.
Coach, I'm here. I you know what I'm doing? I'm paying my monthly bills.
Oh, boy.
And getting ready to go to work, up on a ladder that I fell off on my anniversary and work, brother.
Yep.
Hey, how'd you like that little meme I sent you yesterday?
Oh, that's a good one. I like all the memes you sent me, Dale. Let's see if I can pull this one up here on the screen.
Hey, Coach, can I jump in a second?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, the thing about those foster parents, the government pays those people to watch those kids.
I know they do.
And it's a shame. I mean, I knew a guy that he had a job, but he wanted extra income, so he just went ahead and got a couple of foster kids, and so he could have an extra income. That's the only reason he wanted them.
Well, not only that, Don, he gets a little bit of play toy there too, doesn't he? Huh?
But it's we, the taxpayers, that paid for that stuff to happen.
Well, that's Don's baby right there, baby. I hear you. Look at this meme. Look at this meme I got from Dale. Can you guys read that? I can't see it on my screen. What's that say, Jared? Read that to us. Oh. We'd be better off if they had. That's for sure. That's for sure. Okay, let me shift gears here, because in my mind it all connects. Remember, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. I'm going to show you something that's going on here. This is from my heart. I don't have any proof of this. Here's what I want you to know. Rules for radicals. The other side's been using it for years and years and years. Trump's just figuring it out, by the way. Do you know there are still Christians out there that don't support Trump? And somebody explain that to me. Pastor Dale, can you explain that to me? How can a Christian today not see what's going on? Now, it's not whether or not Trump's a bishop or pope. I'm the great, most righteous man ever. That's not what I'm talking about.
They're not Christians. They're fake.
Well, Vinny, some of the guys I know are real Christians, and they still won't come around.
Well, they're deluded, brother. They're deluded.
They're full of pride, I think. Right?
Yes.
If we can't see what's going on.
Amen, brother.
Did you guys see last night that Obama went out and had a rally in Las Vegas in an auditorium that seats 18,000, I think it was, and 2,000 people came up. They had to put barriers in there to make it look like it's a big crowd. And Trump had 100,000 come out yesterday in Houston, 100,000. And you think that they're going to, you think the media is not trying to lie to you and convince you there's a blue wave coming? You think they're not lying to you? I'm going to connect the dot here for you. How much time I got? We'll connect the dot here for you. Jared's getting some good stuff up on the screen there. He always does good stuff. You guys, have you been paying attention? Rules for radicals. One of the things, rules for radicals, their plan has been, communist agenda has been, to overwhelm the social system, overwhelm them with poverty and welfare and all that. That's the greatest way to break down the system, to bring so many people in that you can't take care of. Now, I was talking about this, Jared showing us the Trump rally. When I first saw this, what's on the screen now, I thought Jared was showing us the mob of people coming across the border. No. That's the people lining up to go vote or to go to the Donald Trump rally. Okay. If there was no cheating, there may not be a Democrat elected in America. Well, yeah, that's not true, because there's some areas that they're inner city. But if there's no cheating, there's no way. Right. But here's what I want you to understand. Jared, let's switch gears to out of the Trump rally to the caravan of people coming north. I'm going to connect some dots here. I don't know, except I know. Yeah, I know. Okay. These illegal aliens. See, we don't think it's any big deal. We don't think it's any big deal for whatever reason. Put that picture up on your screen there, Jared. These are the, there's 14,000. They said there's 14,000 people that are coming across the border. Of, you know, the 2,500 miles as far as New York City to Los Angeles. That's how far these people supposedly have walked. Now, we know better than that. Okay. They haven't walked. And as they said, well, if they walked, then where do they go to the bathroom? What are they eating? Where are they sleeping? Right. So these people are not walking. What we are seeing here is an organized effort by the left. I'm talking about the communist left, to overwhelm our welfare system, to break down America stay with me here a second. I've been doing some research, and they say that this group keeps growing. It started out as 5,000, and now it's 14,000. Like, all of a sudden, these people are going to say, hey, let's join that. Hey, Ethel, let's join that parade. Let's go up to America. Let's walk from New York to L.A. and go up there and join that. We know that's not happening. But what we do know is George Soros and his ilk are strategically paying these people to do this, transport them, buy their food everywhere. And hear me, there are, as this thing moves forward, imagine you're driving down the road. And every time you get down the road, every two blocks, another group of people come out and join you. join your parade. That's what that's what's happening here. So it's not just this started out just with 5,000. Listen, folks, the left has strategically placed another 1,000 every so often along the road, so that a paid organized along the road, so that as it comes by, then another 1,000 comes out. And what this is the tip of the spear. This is the tip of the spear on the invasion of America. Stay with me.
Well, Dave, what they ought to do, in my opinion, then those guys that are out there handing out money, they ought to arrest those guys right there in Mexico, catch them right there. Those are the guys that are instigating continuous, you know, not just them, but they're contributors to it, you see.
Yeah, but see, here's the problem, Jad. They're not in America yet. Hang on with me. Stay with me here a second. Stay with me. So here's what's going on. Trump sees it coming, and he ain't no dummy. He knows what's going on here. The left, folks, the left did not intend on Donald Trump winning. They thought Hillary was going to be in there. They were going to continue to stir unrest in America. They were going to continue to get the blacks against the whites and the rich against the poor and divide and divide and divide and divide and divide. They thought Hillary was going to be in there. See, they thought Hillary was going to be, and that Hillary would be in there, and then Hillary would resist, but not really resist this invasion. And as I saw just yesterday, there was a group of motorcycle guys who are 1,000 of them, I believe, on their Harleys heading to the border because they're going to stop these people from coming across. So what the left, Hillary and her ilk, had planned was that when this invasion came, and it was going to come, that the battle was then going to be in America over those who are on the side of the immigrants and those who are not on the side of the immigrants. And it was all going to be stirred up through public unrest. They were going to if Hillary had been elected, we would have had 2 years more of public unrest so that America would be unbelievably divided. That when these people came across, there would be no resistance because Hillary wouldn't have put up any resistance. Stay with me here. So here's what we're looking now. Donald Trump sees what's going on down there. And I asked my wife this very simple question. I said, honey, how do you stop this? And she said, well, put the military on the border. I said, okay, and do what? Shoot to kill? You know what we do? We put the military on the border and shoot to kill? What do we do? And see, what they are doing is they're going to bring these people to a choke point, and they're going to bust a hole in the border. And let me tell you, there are hundreds of thousands of them coming behind. Already organized, already in place, coming behind. And so Trump is in a dilemma because Trump looks at this and what's going on. He puts the military on the border. What will that look like? And whose side is a divided America? Whose side are they going to be on when the media shows soldiers with guns shooting at what they would call innocent people, the divide and conquer that's been going on in America? Whose side is the average person going to be on? That's what they're trying to create right in front of us. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, you're absolutely correct about the planning and organization of this thing. My last duty assignment when I was in Germany was working on the European War Plans Committee as a staff member. And, you know, something of this magnitude involving this many people from different countries and the whole thing, this planning has been going on for 2 to 3 years minimum.
Yeah, Larry, and I think their hand was forced to do it before they were ready. That's what I think. I don't think we're divided as much as they think we are yet. So I think they were forced to do this early. What do you think, Jared?
The question is Trump, do we have a border or not? If we do have a border, then yeah, he's going to have to shoot to kill. I think.
So Jared, the question is, then where are the American people on this? Hey, Paul, is Paul Webb in here today? Or Vinny's in here? I hate to play the color game. I hate to do that, but I asked my wife last night, man, oh man, if we put military on the border, which side is our inner city blacks going to be on? Whose side are they going to be on?
You know, Dave, sorry, buddy. There is no way that they're going to shoot those people.
No way. That is political suicide. And no, they're not going to do that. They're going to have to grab them and contain them and build camps down there and then ship them back. That's the only way they're going to be able to win this, is to get the American people back on their side. So I think that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to say, look, if the Democrats are to pass the legislation, why don't we get the wall? Why don't we do this? See, that's going to come. There's not going to be one shot fired down there against these people, because that's a suicide. They won't make it. They will not make it.
I got you. But, you know, this is where they're heading to. What do you think? Is Paul in here today? Is Vinny in here today? Black, yeah, here, which side are they going to be on, Vinny? If that were to happen, if the resistance were to come to push back against this onslaught, this is war, fellas. This invasion is war. Where's Black America going to be on this, Vinny?
Well, Coach, the thick-headed Black people are going to be stupid, and there's nothing we can do about that. But the smart Black people, just like every other smart American, we're going to be with America.
Have they played?
Well, I think the Democrats, they're going to spin it. Obviously, they're going to spin it. And they say, see, America, they're against the minorities just like they are you. They're doing it again. They're always going to, that's where they're going to go with it.
Yeah, but it's a trick.
You know, our thought process is, yes, no shots are going to be fired. But you're going to put a military down there. The tensions are going to be high. And I asked this one question: who fired the shot of the shot that was heard around the world? All it's going to take is one provocation of one soldier to where he feels threatened and something, he fires, and then it's all out shooting. It's all out shooting. Then what happens? Then the unrest, it can create a chaos, and you could have martial law in Texas real quick.
Amen. Mandel, that's not unprecedented. That happened during the Old West. The U.S. Army circled Indians at one time, and somebody got in there, got restless, got one guy shot, and everybody's got all spooked up, so they killed them all.
Here's what I'm saying. Do you guys know this? That Donald Trump just declared a national emergency. Do you guys know that? Are we even aware of that? I can't get my computer to boot up over here for some reason. Trump just declared.
Yes, he did, and that's no longer National Guard. That is the United States military. It's going to be placed down there. And those guys, listen, they've been in Iraq. They've been in Afghanistan. These guys are burning American flags and waving Honduras flags. That's an invasion of a country. That is a physical military assault on a country.
Amen. So I'm trying to paint the picture for you so that we understand that they are trying right now to incite a civil war. That's what's happening right before our very eyes. They're trying to incite a civil war. Now I'm wondering what is Trump? Is the military going to bring in those sound weapon things? You guys know what I that they
yeah a sonic weapon.
Sonic. Yeah, they're gonna bring the sonic weapons and the directed energy weapons in.
That's what I think too.
Okay, here's what I think. They're going to bring ARC technology. They're going to sweep that hurricane across there. It's going to wipe them out, and they're going to be everybody's going to just think it's a natural event.
Well, you know, it's funny because the hurricane is coming up through there. I don't know if you guys.
That's right.
Yep, Jared, see if you can.
I saw that coming. I was like, that's what's going to happen.
See if you can find that, Jared. There is a hurricane right now. It's going to come. Look at that. There it is, man, right across where they're coming. Now, I saw a better picture of it on there last night. Anyway, listen. I'm trying to – Jared, there's a good one. Put that back.
They're going to bus them in on Hillary Clinton old political buses.
Oh, my goodness. Where is it? This one down here. Oh, I can't – there it is. That one. See, that's going right across where – they're marching, okay? Right across where they're marching. Now, here's the question. Do we see the church is divided, right? Because there's going to be lefties. I just read about them in Titus. What does it say? For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcisions, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. You understand that there's an element of Christianity that is on the side of the refugees. You know that, don't you? And you know who's going to be on the media? It's going to be those guys on the left who are going to be on the media crying out, how can you be Christians? How can you be Christians and turn the people away? And I did a meme on Facebook the other day that was very, very simple and didn't get much of a response. I simply said, hey, I wonder what they're saying about the law, thou shalt not covet. Ask religious left illegal immigrant pushers, whatever happened to thou shalt not covet? Huh? Isn't that a Christian principle as well? So you see the divide and conquer? Do you see it? I thank God, first of all, that they've been forced to fire their gun before they're ready. They didn't really want to do this right now. They are so desperate. They have got to change the November election. They have to change it. And folks, you know this. You know that even the left is now saying it ain't a blue wave. Ain't no blue wave coming. The left's even admitting it now. There's no doubt about it that at the very worst, the Senate's going to be 53-47. At the very worst. At the very worst. And I'm telling you, this right here is not helping the Democrats. In the very worst, where they thought that they were going to take maybe 40 seats in the House, at the very worst, it's going to be 10. And so they're not going to win what they thought they would win. So this is a last gasp effort to try to sway the entire electorate. This is really serious stuff, folks. Really, this is more than just people. Now, say it's only 5,000. Say it's 20,000. We got how many million? We got 350 million people. It's only 20,000. Oh, baby, 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 baby.
They're missing the point, Coach.
They're missing the point. And
it's
so,
not a direct attack. It's a financial attack. It's a weaken us.
That's exactly.
Well,
it's war.
As that number gets enlarges as they get closer to the border, it's going to explode when it gets to the border.
Amen.
You know where they're headed? Do you know where they're headed? It'll send chills through your spine. Not
where's
Texas.
That?
California, right?
California.
So
do you see the dynamics there?
Uh-huh.
State of California, Jerry Brown, United States military.
They want to battle.
Organized active resistance.
Unbelievable.
Huh? People that place themselves between the invaders and the United States military.
Hey, Jerry Brown.
The photo optics will be great.
And think about that. If they do come across that border, like what you were saying, Coach, the division, if they come across Texas, the population of Texas itself, majority would be against that. But in California, you got de factos on both sides of the border right there. The people in California would be ripping, helping them rip down the wall so they can get in the country.
Yeah, man, it's something. Yes.
What if they just declare California not part of the United States for a period of time and just let them all fester over there?
We've got a national emergency going on, and it's going to be desperate measures. Hey, Jared, pull up the thing that says Hal Turner on it. I can't get my computer to kick in here. It went to sleep on me here. It's not it. It's in the email I sent you, and you have to look at it. It says Hal Turner, I think. I don't even know what it looks like because I can't get my computer up here. But it's some good. Yeah. Hal Turner. Look, okay, let's just stay here a minute, folks.
Oh, we just had a news alert, man. There's an explosive device found near George Soros' house in Bedford, New York.
Oh. Be careful what you say. Right wing watches out there just waiting for us to stay.
I'm just repeating what I'm looking at on the news right now.
Yeah,
right.
I saw that one.
That doesn't matter to them. Jared's bringing up the Hal Turner thing here for me right now.
Yeah.
And Hal Turner says it's a foreign invasion. This is a military operation, folks. It's a military operation. It's an invasion of our nation by foreign nations. Let there be no doubt about it. Mexico won't stop it. None of them will stop it. Oh, it's not working there, Jared. I don't know what happened to me there. Okay. Hey, it's good. I can't get it up on my screen. It was just okay. Listen, we got 5 minutes left, and I didn't get to finish with the Hal Turner thing here. Somebody help me wrap this thing up.
Can Trump can he maintain order? So once the divide happens, once they hit the border, can Trump maintain order? Is that the question?
I think that's the question. Well, first of all, they can't let him in. They can't let him in, right? They can't. Listen, folks, do you see the impact of on the election? Do you see what's going on here? You see it? Now, this is for those who believe in American. This is why I asked the question to our black brothers. Where is the black community going to come down on this? Where are they? Where's Antifa and all this? Where are they coming down on this invasion? Where's many in the church? The Columbus Dispatch, all the major newspapers, they're going to have these lefty religious leaders talking about it. We have to show the love of Jesus and let him in and yada, yada, yada. And women's hearts are going to be torn because, oh, yes, they're little children. And you know where this thing's gone, right? You know where this is gone. Let me tell you this. Get out and vote now. Vote. Hey, vote today. If you have early voting, vote today. That's what I'm going to do. Vote today. Vote today because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. I know. Saw that, Pastor Mike. Progressive Christianity is demonic, right?
Well, Coach, you do know what happens under martial law. There can be no election under martial law.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully we're not there yet. But you guys, are you seeing the bigger picture now? Do you understand that there are 7,000? There are 10 more groups like this waiting to come. Already set up, already organized, waiting to come. Right now, ready to fall in line. Once these guys break through, if they break through and they are the tip of the spear and they cut open that border, look out, baby, here they come.
Hey, 13 days.
Yeah, I agree. This is just the first wave.
Right, 13, exactly.
Re-election, 1,000 miles to go. They've got to walk 76 miles a day. Any American that believes the news media that that's going to happen, they deserve to lose their country because they are 15 times stupid if they think that many people can walk 76 miles a day.
Well, Larry, I got a couple of people who are very close to me and my family that believe it. I can tell you that.
No.
They watch MSNBC all the time. They believe it.
You can tell them from me, if they're close to you and your family and they know you and it's in your life, then they're 30 kinds of stupid if they believe it.
Yeah. Well, they do.
But the storm is the best way to handle them, okay? Because, see, the left can't say that it's a conjured up storm because they would backfire them. Then they would look like tinfoil hat people, you see? So the storm is the best one.
Well, you know what? That's the point. The point we should make is stay where you are and make where you are great. Don't come here and make America mediocre by stealing away resources that America needs to make itself great.
Larry, we don't even get up to Vinny. We know right now that these illegals are getting welfare benefits and Social Security benefits and education benefits. They're already doing it. That's already happening to us. Comes back to Saul Alinsky. We claim to be Christians. They make us live up to our Christian values with these people. Yeah, somebody coming in.
Yeah, Coach, their clothes aren't dirty. They've been trucking across the lands. Their shoes are, their clothes are camped. Their faces are shaved, well shaven. These guys, I mean, brother, these are being bussed from whatever point to another point.
Look at that picture right there. Guys, look at that picture right there. See all those people? You mean that there's not one of them in there that's got to take a poop right now? Not right. One of them?
Daddy Soros is paying for it all.
And the women are carrying the child in their arm. They don't have any stroller or anything. They're wearing sandals, open-toed shoes, for Pete's sake. I mean, to walk all those miles, I mean, just, it's incredible.
So here's what Donald Trump needs to do, I think. I don't know if he will. He needs to call an emergency session to Congress and make Congress say what they want to do there. Because here's what it'll do. It'll flush out the Dems. It'll flush them out. Trump says, listen, or should we put people on the border and block the border and have Congress say yes or no?
Let's make them work. That's right. That's what they're supposed to be doing in the first place.
What did we do when Japan invaded us? We made a declaration of war. It doesn't matter whether they're Hondurans or wherever. They're coming across Mexico's soil. We make a declaration of war against Mexico right now. And that right there, you know, puts the military right there and puts them on notice that Mexico has sided and that we're declaring war on them.
Well, they could also just handle it and put a media blackout on that area.
Yeah. Well, there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially those of the church, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, simply for filthy Luger's sake. Amazing time to be alive. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.